in two, because you can't let the streets beat you. Well, a picture can express a thousand words to describe all the beauty of life you give. And if the world was yours to do over, I know you'd paint a better place to live, where the colors would swirl and the boys and girls can grow in peace and harmony, and where murals stand on walls so grand as far as the eyes are able to see. I never knew art till I saw your face, that there'll never be one to take your place, cause each and every time you touch a spray paint can, Michelangelo's soul controls your hands. Send serenades of blue and red, and the beauty of the rainbow fills your head. Crescendo colors play in tune, man, why oh why you'd have to die so soon. Say it, 1, 2, 3, 4, and just let me know what you came here for, and just clap your hands, everybody, and let me know that I'm not alone. And if you knew my man when he was alive, scream it out and say, Ramon, Ramon. I talk about ashes, the ashes, and dust, the dust, where the good die young and all die must, cause that life must live, death must die, and the tears shall fall from the living eye. Tell me who's gonna dream the impossible dreams of the beautiful cities and the islands dreams, when your works of art brought into being all that the ghetto stopped you from seeing. Feel like urban masterpiece, your trademark was written on chains and walls, a $1 million gift only God released, and if you got killed for nothing at all, so after this there'll be no more hard times, no more bad times, and no more pain, no more chump change, none of that bull, just movies, museums in the hall.
To the Roke Show. It's Friday night. This crew of misfits, we're going to set this shit on fire. We've got a little old school to get you in the mood. We got a lot of shit to talk about, so let's not even screw around, man. You guys know how we do it. Open phone call, open lines all night. Phone calls can be taken at 310-742-1799. Let's talk MMA anyway. I have the man behind so much of the Midwest MMA scene, the president of MMA Topics and a matchmaker for Blackout Fighting Championships, Chris Gregory. What's up, you fucking baller?
Hey, I'm not going to lie. I'm a little winded from pop locking just now. So you got to go ahead and introduce Clinch, man. Woof. That was a nice old school song, though.
Dude, straight up, man. Who don't remember Beach Street? That's a fucking classic. If you don't remember it, man, you got to go get it. Our other guest so far tonight, and guys, like I said, open lines. Anybody wants to call in, let's call in. I have the man behind the greatest mouth guard company going in sports today. That's combat sports, regular sports, girls sports, male sports, kids sports. We have the president and CEO of Clinch Custom Mouth Guards himself, resident badass on the streets of wherever you live. Jeff, how you doing tonight, brother?
I'm doing good. What an intro, man. You're all right. Check through the mail.
Well, oh, hold on. I got one more intro to do. Folks, we have one more guy joining the show tonight. I call him Guy loosely because I kind of feel like he's a bitch sometimes with his panties so tight.
Are you kidding me?
No. I was going to say Lapaki, but I'm going to keep him on mute all night because the fans have requested they don't hear his douchebag mouth tonight. Watch him call in now. Hey, and by the way, folks, I am looking at the preview of the new Support Local MMA Madhouse t-shirts. Badass. I'm happy.
Huh.
Mm. Okay, so, DJ, I know you're probably listening. Big shout out to DJ Linderman. He's got Legacy next week. Big brother, there's no way I can do that, man. I don't have enough time. I just proofed the hoodies just now and the t-shirt while we're live on air. So, let that happen. I wanted
are
to
you speaking out loud? Are you, like, speaking out loud while speaking or
yeah,
something?
Who the fuck are you talking to?
I'm talking to DJ. I'm talking to DJ Linderman. I believe he's listening to the show right now, and he sent me a question, so I wanted to tell him there's no way I could get you guys hoodies in time for your walkouts next week on your fights, man. I'm really sorry. I know you guys always take good care of me, and I'll do my best to make this up to you guys. I don't even have any yet. So, okay, that being said.
What if I help you? What if I help you?
Well, are you going to screen print some hoodies for him?
Yeah.
Well, then tell him you can do that.
No. That's a tip for you. I thought you just, you just need Madhouse ones?
Well, I just ordered $900 almost worth of hoodies and t-shirts.
Nice. So they won't be in time?
Well, they won't. I mean, I just proofed them. So, I mean, he won't even start.
I can make some heat transfer ones. Make some heat transfer hoodies.
Well, hold on. Let's see who we got. Hey, 541, who do we got?
Yo, the protege.
What's up, killer?
Not much, man. Just kicking back, getting my last few days of training in before I take off out to San Antonio.
Go whoop some ass.
And whoop another ass.
Hell yeah. Put another W on the list.
Hey, you know, straight up, I'm really happy to see you working with, Scrap Soldiers and, you know, I hope that they didn't take that wrong, man. I was just, you know, joking around about posing you with all your belts, you know. So I hope they took that in the fun it was.
No, I'm sure they did.
You know.
Yeah, it's great to be working with these guys now. I've seen their gear, you know. I was hoping to get behind them one of these days, and now we're working together, so.
Well, DJ, we were just actually talking about your message to me. I literally, while we were on air just now, proofed the new print shop to start printing our new hoodies and shirts. So right now we don't have anything in stock. I don't even have anything on my shelves in this studio. Otherwise, I would throw you whatever you needed.
Well, I think we do have a tee. So I was just seeing if you had some hoodies in. I think we do have a tee, so I might have them wear that one out.
Okay, and as soon as I get hoodies in, you know it. You're taken care of and Bo's taken care of, period.
All right, man. Yeah, he's going to be cornering me, and then I got Kyle Kenny out there. He'll be out there with me. And then my management, he's out there, Wade Hampel, with Big Fight Management. Him and Ben hooking me up with some good fights. I got this fight coming up. You know, I'm not looking past it. Richard Odom, he's a tough, big guy, 6'5", 260. So,
now, you know, How nice is it that, in front of everyone out there, we're talking to DJ, the protege Linderman, if you're just retarded. But How nice is it that you can go down to Texas a day or so earlier, even longer, or even, you know, farther in advance, and have somebody like Kyle down there to finish off your training with?
You know, it's good. I get a few guys that I get that I've worked with before and fought before, you know. So, you know, it's great to have guys around the country, around the world that, you know, when I get over there, they're able to help me out before fights. So it's good.
That's great. Yeah, I'm excited that you're getting this opportunity. I know it was short notice, but anybody who knows you and knows the gym that you come from, you guys train religiously for any day. You know, you're always ready. And that's something that in your career, you know, short notice, long notice fights, both, you've always performed very well at. When they called you, I mean, this was a no, just, hey, let's do it. Fuck it.
Yep. You know me. I like that short notice. Yeah, I love that short notice, man. They could call me on 2 days' notice, and I would have said yes. I like the opportunity of going out there for Legacy. You know, they've given me my chances, and, you know, I just want to give them a show, you know, like they've asked for and they deserve. You know, what's his name? Smith, you know, had to drop out due to a spider bite, you know, and I'm glad they called me and gave me that opportunity to come back to Legacy. They're great people out there, great promotion, one of the fastest growing businesses out there in Houston.
Oh, you know, anybody who knows me knows I grew up around them. I remember when they were still at the bars. That whole group of guys, you know, down in Brazos, College Station, down in, you know, the bar district down there putting on these events years and years ago, and they've grown. And I've said for the last almost 3 years now, this is an organization people really need to keep their eye on. The way they've built their amateur, like, farm league, so to say, bringing in amateurs from all over the South to build up to their pros, and then the pros like yourself and other pros they've had on their cards. It's just a great event. It's a great company. I've heard nothing but good things about them. So I'm glad to see you back there.
Oh, definitely. No, I plan to come back there, you know, get this W. And, you know, it's a contender fight. You know, it's going to put me back in that spot for, you know, another title. And in the Legacy title, man, that's a great title to own. And I'd be I'm much appreciative they're having me out there for that contender fight. And, you know, they could see why they're bringing me out there. I did a lot of work for them, and they want the top fighters out there. Look at the guys they're bringing in there. They're bringing in Leonard Garcia and a few other people. And I can't wait to be on the card with some of those guys.
Oh, I bet, man. I mean, you know, the great thing about this as well, you know, you get television exposure, you know. You can't beat that. I mean, for you to be able to go out there, especially with your sponsors, and then to see you rep them on a nationally televised event, is just a bonus. And once again, it helps you make more waves and helps you put your name in more promoters, whether they be statesides or overseas. Now, I know this is strictly what you're focused on, and you're not worried about shit other than this fight coming up, but would you be defending your title before the end of 2013 overseas, or will we see that in 2014?
Yes, you will. You'll be seeing it is November 30th. I will be in Poland to rematch Michael Kidda for the heavyweight title.
Oh, he wanted the rematch after all.
Yes. Yes. He said he felt like, he could have done a lot better. And after thinking it over, he would like his rematch. So they went ahead and gave it to him. I do believe they've changed the name of the organization, of Fighters Arena, to another name. They had, you know, a little bitter thing between the owners, and it's going to be called a different name now. I'm not even sure the name of the title I'm going to be owning after I beat him again, you know. So, but, I look forward to coming out there, you know, and fighting for him. I have a big fight, actually, before that I will be letting you guys know about. I can't release anything. I have to let them release it first. But it's a very big fight and a much bigger fight than Michael Kidda.
Oh, that's great to hear, man.
And it will be there in Poland.
Dude, so Will it be for a different organization or the same?
Yes, it'll be for MMA Attack.
Dude, this is great shit. This is why, folks, this is one of the reasons why I said tonight in a post on Facebook, you're what this sport's about. Give them to me. Let me take them out. I don't care if it's in my backyard or if it's in Poland. I just want to fucking fight. I want to fight good guys, and I want to win straps. I love it, man. This is why I love it so much. And I think people don't realize, and obviously you do, Eastern European MMA is blowing the fuck up.
Oh, definitely. They got some guys out there. The last time I was out there fighting Kidda, seeing some of the guys on the card I was on with, you know, I was like, damn. I was like, I would like to fight these guys out here. They're well-rounded, you know, they come out there, they look like freaking bodybuilders, but with freaking football players' athletic ability, you know?
Yeah. No, we watched that night of heavyweights that you won the title over Titna at. There were some beasts, man, and these guys, folks, when we say beasts, we're talking guys like DJ who have good cardio, who are well-rounded, who are big. You know, they're weighing 235, 245, and they're cut up. They look good. They're not Roy Nelson, you know. I mean, not to be disrespectful to him, but they're not that body style. I mean, we're seeing so many more European heavyweights and 205s flooding the market if you really follow the sport. And I like the fact that you're not afraid to go over there, out of your comfort zone, out of your backyard, to be able to fight competition at that level. That's great shit, man.
Oh, man, you know, heading over to different places like that, you know, it just gives me, the opposite of what it does to everybody else. You know, I go over there, I hear the boos, or I don't get a response from them when I'm walking out, and the other guy does. You know, that actually just builds it up inside for me. And then by the end of the night, I got those guys that were booing are cheering by the end of the night for me. So, you know, that's what keeps me going, is those fans out there that you know, see what I come out like, and then by the end of the fight, they're less amazed about how I fight.
Now, I'm going to keep talking because these two stoners are obviously got their mouths tied up, but how good does that feel when you're able to turn a Polish crowd or a crowd in Britain or a crowd, you know, anywhere outside your backyard, you're able to turn these fans from boos to fucking, I want your autograph, I'm following you on Facebook. How good does that feel?
Oh, it feels great, man. You know, collecting more and more fans, especially around the world in someone else's backyard, is great. It is one of the greatest feelings out there. Like, I feel like here, some people just take advantage of the fighter, you know, take advantage of, hey, we got fighters here, you know. Over there, I come over there, they see a guy coming from another country, coming into their backyard. They know they have that feeling of, fuck, I'm in someone else's backyard, da-da-da. And then, bam, they're cheering for you because they're like, fuck, look at this guy coming at this guy with everything he has, knowing everybody out here is against him. It's nothing can beat that.
Now, what's your biggest difference in your camps when you're fighting overseas versus fighting for Legacy next week?
I think the preparation, I feel like when I fight out of the country against other guys over there, I feel like I look at more than just the guy that I'm fighting. I look at all the styles that come out of that country or out of the European area. They have a different style of fighting than we do. They don't come in and be wrestlers or anything like we are over here or something. Over there, they got judo, they got sambo, they got all different types of fighting. They're more of a stand-up group over there. And I feel like I have to spread my camp out trying to get different, similar people like they have over there.
Now, it's funny you say that. You know, as MMA is blowing up there, these guys are obviously, like stateside fighters, getting more and more well-rounded. You're seeing more Brazilian jiu-jitsu guys go over there for, you know, seminars and tournaments. And, you know, just like we're seeing more guys in the K-1 and kick and tie fighting business come over to America and hold seminars. So, you know, it's interesting because in the next, you know, couple of years, these guys over there are going to be no different than the guys fighting out of Brazil or fighting out of Russia or fighting out of, you know, Chicago.
Yeah, it's great to see guys being able to not just be stationary in one gym, or for like American Top Team, you have to stay there and be with them. No, I like it that people are coming from different countries to practice other people's types of different things of wrestling, jiu-jitsu, kickboxing. You know, that's how I am. That's how I am. I like going to other camps and, you know, going to this guy. Like, now I'm down here in Santa Rosa, California, training with Dave Terrell, one of the best jits guys around. I think by far, I think he could kick Robert Drysdale's ass in the jits game. This dude subs me about 15 times a night. So, David Terrell's no joke. Yeah, I'm training with him, Colin Hart, Joe Soto from Bellator, like David Mitchell that just fought Mike Pierce. I got all these guys down here of different style of fighters, and it's helping me round my game out better than it was.
It's funny because anybody who's following MMA, especially at the Zuppa Zombie level, Diaz has now started going to Alpha Male to work with, you know, Bang Ludwig on his striking, MMA style striking, you know. So it's a progression of your game. You're trying to get better. You've got to be willing to go and experience other gyms and other people who maybe be singleized in one technique or aspect of the game, and work with other guys that are your size, you know, in different gyms who don't know your game so well.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I've seen that Diaz was down there with Legley and them over at Alpha Male. It's good for him to get around. Like, it would be awesome to get over there with Diaz and all them. I went over there with Faber and all them a few months ago. It was great to go over there and see their style. They're more of the wrestling, submission style. Faber's all about those damn chokes over there. And, you know, I like that style. You know, I come over here to NorCal Fighting Alliance, and these guys over here are all about the jits, man, and I am learning a lot from these guys over here.
Now, I mean, look, we're friends. You know, you got Jeff on here and Chris Gregory from Topics. You know, we get to hang with you a lot and talk to you a lot. Honestly, you know, as boys all sitting here, you talk about the jits game and how tight it is there and how much they're teaching you. Do you feel like, wow, man, if I would have come here 2 years ago, I would be a completely different fighter?
Oh, that's for sure. I'd be more of a ground fighter than I was or am now. I feel more comfortable on the ground. That the fight with Drysdale would have went a whole different way. And, you know, I like the style, and I like the training of this camp here. And, you know, I wish I would have had this kind of a structure 2 years ago.
Man, I love it. It's beautiful to hear that from you. You know, because one of the great things about you is you are who you are. You're not trying to sugarcoat shit. That's why we like you. Chris. I guess it's just me.
Chris,
DJ.
Wake the fuck up.
Yeah, fuck them all. Hey, DJ, did you
get off the hookah? Get off the hookah.
Sorry. I was in the other room, man. I got kids, bro. I'm like running around and shit. They should be asleep, but they're not.
I know. Mike's running around in the living room.
See, you guys, I'm the only smart one. I have a Texas babysitter. That's a roll of duct tape and a bottle of Robitussin. They're out for the night on the wall. Don't go nowhere. I'm safe. I get 8 hours clean time. Hey, did you guys, who all watched XFC tonight?
Yeah, I watched it. I watched it. I mean, I thought there were some good fights. I thought there was a few that I was really, really, like, pumped up for, and they just didn't go the way I wanted it to. That's for sure.
Well,
I didn't get to see that. I was watching that premiere of The Ultimate Fighter, though. They have some pretty bad gist bitches on there. It was pretty sick.
What do you think of Peggy Morgan, man? The Daywalker.
Damn.
Can you believe that she makes it to 135 and she looks like...
I don't know how she makes it to 135.
Well, hey, look, I think we have her manager actually on the line. Weird coincidence. Jason, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Skip. How you guys doing tonight?
Hey, you know who the crew is, man. We got DJ Linderman, we got Chris Gregory, and we got Jeff from Clinch. Everybody, this is Jason Ellis from Relentless Sports Management. Hey, speaking of your girl, because we were just talking about Peggy, how pumped were you to see her on that first show just dominate that girl?
I was very thrilled. Actually, I was watching it with my grandfather, and my grandfather's a Shriner. Like, he doesn't get excited about too much except for, like, going to band practice and things like that because he's retired, or doing when he does the Meals on Wheels with his fellow Shriners. But my grandfather actually was like, wow, well, damn. She did great. Look at her. Like, he was, like, excited about it. It was the craziest thing I've ever seen with him. So, yeah, I was definitely thrilled to see that performance.
Okay, so since everybody on the show tonight has pretty much seen the premiere episode, I got to ask everybody, who liked and who didn't like the chopping up of the fight?
I never liked that. I never liked that. I want to see the whole fight because I want to see what these guys, you know, the guys that win, I at least want to see, you know, how they do, but it's whatever, you know. They got a production. They got to make time.
The Revelina Bertho, all of a sudden she goes from a position where she's in trouble to standing back up to back in trouble. I would like to see how she got out of it.
That was the fight that I wanted to see the most that got chopped up because the way they were talking about it, like, I actually think that might have been a war, bro, and they just fucking cut it out and made it into a highlight fight, you know?
I didn't like that at all. I was very disappointed about that.
Yeah.
Man, that girl that had the glasses, I had no idea she was going to come out as aggressive as she was. That rock fraud girl.
Roxy. Japan.
Yeah. She surprised the hell out of me. You don't judge a book by its cover, right?
No, she did. Does she not remind you guys of like some like computer nerd that you guys?
Yeah,
like, well,
exactly.
Like, whatever, you know. All of a sudden, she gets up and just taps your ass out. And let's be honest, anybody out there who knows about Roxanne, she's had a long career up until this streak, up until about 18, maybe 20 months ago. She was 15-3. I believe, and now she's 15-8. Is that right? She lost five. Yeah. She lost, but two of those were title fights. Let's be honest. She's been fighting a long time. She's somebody that should be well respected, and you shouldn't take lightly. And I agree. Her appearance, I would be like, what? You know, I would never in a million years, if I didn't follow this sport, know who she was, would have seen her like half of America did, and be like, really? But the girl's legit.
My mouth kind of dropped as I seen that. I was just like, are you kidding me?
Well, what's the next thing you thought? Automatically you thought, I bet she's good in the sack. I bet she's good in bed. She got that look, that nerdy look, and she kicks somebody's ass. That's the business.
I'm still amazed, though, on the whole Peggy thing, man. She's like twice the size of Bo the show and still makes 135, and Bo don't make 135.
That's fucked up. Oh, that's fucked up. Calling out your Thunder Buddy live on the show.
I know he's my Thunder Buddy. He should be making 135 if that girl can make 135.
You know what? It's a challenge, Bo. You cannot let Peggy the Daywalker Morgan come along here and show you up, buddy. I want to see 125 out of you. Make him go practice cut to 125 just for fucking shits and giggle. After his next fight, we're going to go practice cut to 125.
Just think, though, he has to maintain that weight, too, through the whole season. That's what sucks.
But anybody who's followed the regular show that we do on Wednesday nights and then the Madhouse Live, we've had Peggy on that show a few times, and something she's always said is cutting weight's not an issue for her. She doesn't really stress about it, doesn't have a super hard time or anything. So that's what's scary, is she's able to make that weight and stay looking healthy.
She's disciplined, Skip. She's disciplined. When she fights at 35, she's disciplined and maintains her diet, and she works hard for it, you know? That's why she's able to maintain it and make the weight so easily. You know, a lot of fighters, athletes, you know, some of them are not so strict and disciplined, man. I mean, who would have thought that a college professor from The Answer would be watching on The Ultimate Fighter, Single Mom, you know?
I agree.
Exactly.
That's the thing people don't realize. Peggy has a master's degree and teaches literature and English, bro, in college as a professor.
Ooh. That's what I found is so cool about her is, literally, you got a professor of wit whooping ass on live TV. That's just fucking cool. And we've talked about that a bunch, about coming to school with black eyes and shit, teach. Be like, dude, don't turn your term paper in late, motherfucker.
Nah, you know what the best part of that whole thing, though, was when Rhonda shouted her out, like, Peggy don't give a fuck. Peggy don't give a fuck. Peggy don't give a fuck.
That was trending on Twitter for a minute, dude. That's how insane it was. Now, she made Rhonda's team.
Yes, she's on Team Rousey. Correct.
Okay. I'm just making sure.
Where is she at, Jason?
She trains with what team? She's out of Nashville, New Hampshire. She trains with Trump BJJ and Matt's BJJ.
Oh, okay.
Also spent some time with the Lozon camp. I mean, some of her main training partners are other top alums, like Jimmy Quinlan from last season, Chuck O'Neill from season 13. She's got a good group of people that she spends her time training with. You know, and she comes from before she even got into mixed martial arts. What people don't realize is she was ranked number 2 as an amateur boxer at 152 in the States. You know, before when she fought, had a successful amateur boxing career as well as a kickboxing career before she got into MMA.
Yeah,
and that's
something. They didn't even touch on that on the show preview. They didn't touch on her vast experience at the stand-up game.
No, they did not, but if you read her first blog post with MMA Weasley, you know, she touches bases on that and states it, you know. But people thought they knew her from before she was on the show. I'm sure her following and things that she's worked hard for and she deserves are going to keep coming to her because the girl works hard, you know. We'll see if the show progresses.
We've got all these great minds here, okay? We've got pro fighters, world champion pro fighters. We've got world champion matchmakers, everything in management. And then we've got me, the world champion pimp. When we're all here, let's pick. Who's got the better team this year, Misha or Rhonda?
Wow. Rhonda, for sure.
I think as far as the ladies go, I'd say Rousey. But as far as the guys go, I mean, Misha Tate has Cody Bollinger, Chris Holdsworth.
Yep.
Tim Gorman, Josh Hill. But then, I mean, then you got, on Rousey, you got Chris Veal, David Grant, Anthony Sharpe Gutierrez, and Michael Wooten, which, you know, Chris Veal could probably win the show. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I know a little bit about the show that happens, so I don't want to give it away on air because I know I'll get my ass kicked. So, but I mean,
here's something that I want to say about my experience with Cody Bollinger. You know, he's a nice kid, but let's look at his record. He's a product of good matchmaking. I'll give you an example. A year ago, he fought Dean Thomas. You know that Dean pulled guard and submitted him, bro, in like less than 2 minutes. And then
That's
he turned around and I saw him fight in the Bellator featherweight tournament, and he actually had a better showing there and came out strong. But then again, he ended up getting finished. So, you know, maybe 35 is his weight class. And again, I know he's a family man because I've talked to him, and he's a nice kid. And, you know, I wish him luck on the show. I'm curious to see how far he went. But at the same time, you know, he doesn't really have no names on his record either, that he's, for as far as his notable wins, you know?
Well, while we're talking and breaking down some of this card, before I forget, because you guys know what drugs do to Skippy. Hey, DJ, I just heard like 4 days ago that Dare is trying to fill up their heavyweight division. Just so you know, I mean, you might want to pass that on to your management company so that they can look into it. I know right now Chris Barnett's the first one that they've signed, but it's a $125,000 tournament.
Where is this at?
Bangkok, Thailand. For Dare
I got a buddy that lives there, man. Fuck.
Dude,
what is this going on?
The first leg of the tournament, but it's for lower weight classes, is going to be October 12th. But they've got a ton of events, and I just saw that they're trying to fill their heavyweights. So you might throw your name in the hat, bro. It's 125 grand.
I'll put it in just for, you know, to get over there and get some fights in. It doesn't matter for me.
Hey, here's what's crazy is, you know, when you're over there, you could just drive over the border real quick to Cambodia and knock out maybe 2-3 fights in a weekend and then drive back over.
Yeah.
And nobody knows. Make some quick cash.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I'll shoot you the information.
You know, a fight I want to see, or I think would be a good one, is Peggy and Holly Holmes would be a great fight.
Ooh. Ah, that's a good fucking fight because they both have solid hands. But I give it to Peggy on the reach.
I was thinking it while I was watching the fight with Peggy. I was like, man, her and Holly Holmes would be a fucking fight. I wish Holmes would have been on the Ultimate Fighter for both of them to be the finalists, you know?
Now, Holmes, the only reason she didn't go is because she didn't have enough pro wins, I believe.
But they changed that, though. If you were, because Peggy wasn't made to show it only 2-0.
Oh, they did.
Well, even when I tried out for the Ultimate Fighter, they told me that people had to be at least 3 pro fights, and there was people that had zero pro fights that were there at the Ultimate Fighter, and they passed them all along.
I'm surprised you didn't go try out for the new season coming up recently, DJ, at 205.
Yeah, I thought about that. You know, I'm feeling a little comfy at this heavyweight division.
Nothing wrong with that, brother. You're traveling the world, collecting paychecks and belts.
Hey, hold on.
Eating a lot of good food.
Right? Seeing the world. DJ, I got a fan who just tweeted me saying that you're completely wrong. Holly Holmes is nasty, would kill Peggy Morgan.
Ooh. Now, I think it would be a legit fight between the two. They're both aggressive. Both have great hands. But, you know, at the end, I think it would be the fight of the night if they were on a fight card.
Well, I think, and I'll say it, I think they're both great athletes. But I'm telling you, I think Peggy Morgan is a step ahead in the game. Now, look, fan, and I'm not going to blast you out because I got mad love for this fan, but, hey, understand this ain't a fucking boxing match. This is an MMA match, and we all saw that Peggy's, you don't want to go to the ground with her. I mean, she's going to become a dominant position, and she's going to...
Well, not just that, but I'm going to touch in on something. Even though she got a highlight reel knockout done to her, finally... But look at what Alana Jones did. And Alana Jones is really, I don't care what anybody says. And from what I understand, she's on her way down now. But that girl is really a 25er and has been fighting out of her weight class.
I agree. And
here's the thing. Holly couldn't put her away, bro. Or Dominic. Alana was hanging in there with her until she got caught with that fucking head kick. You know?
Yeah.
Hey, look. And you guys know Madhouse.
I don't think Holmes could reach Peggy's head.
I don't either. I don't either.
I think Holmes would have to worry about Peggy putting her on her back. You know, she trains with two legitimate jiu-jitsu. And here's the thing, jiu-jitsu pants, but not just that. Jimmy Quinlan, a prime example. When he was on last season, what was the thing that they talked about most with this guy, besides his jiu-jitsu back, his decorated grappler, his wrestling and his jiu-jitsu? Peggy trains with Jimmy day in and day out. You don't think she's getting quality work in the wrestling department to be able to set those things up using her hands to be able to take Holmes down? I've never seen Holmes on the ground. But I guess maybe we'll find out next weekend when she fights that chick from that only lost to Cyborg. Yeah. You know.
I think Holmes is on the Legacy 24. She'll be on the following.
I thought she was on the next weekend card.
No, I'm on the next weekend card. I believe she's on the following on Legacy 24.
Oh, shit, folks. I was just told that Peggy's ground game versus Holly's, because she trains at Winkle John Jackson's MMA, is on another level.
I don't know who this fan is and what they're smoking, but tell them to go spend a day up in New Hampshire fucking with.
Whatever it is, it's what these guys are smoking on the air.
No comment.
You know, here's the thing. She's getting quality work in, man, between Mass BJJ, the Lozons, and Trump BJJ. You know, and, you know, I'm not taking nothing away from Jackson and Winklejohn, but, you know, she does have quality people to work with, and that's who she's getting her work in on a day in and day out, you know? So,
yeah.
And we can continue talking about a fictional fight that isn't going to happen anytime soon if it ever does.
Yeah.
So, you know, the fan's entitled to his opinion. We're entitled to our opinion. That's that.
Yeah.
You know?
It's one of those fights you just think about.
Very true. Just like I noticed that people were posting, fans were saying how they hoped they would see Peggy and Jasmine Duke fight, but they're teammates. So obviously we won't know until later in the season if they do have to face each other or not. But as of right now, it ain't going to be happening in the opening round.
Well, that's very true. And, you know, it's funny because we talk, you know, all the time. All of us have fights we'd like to see, you know. I mean, there's no two ways about it. I would like to see DJ, honestly. I'd like to see DJ while you're here. I'll be the first to say it. I'd like to see you fight Andrew Van Zee. You know? I'd like to see you go down there and fight him for his record, test that 10-1, see how legit his 10-1 record really is by putting you in there.
Which guy is this?
Andrew Van Zeel. He is the EFC African Heavyweight Champion out of BJJ.
Oh, yeah. We were talking about the EFC the last time I was on.
Yep. Right. Yep, and, you know, he's now defended the title. He's, you know, he's pretty stout guy. I think you're a perfect match to take him out. I wonder if he is not a little bit more hype, because I saw some holes in the last few fights with him, and I'll be honest. So I think it's some holes that you could exploit. I think you and your team would sit down and be like, I got it. I know, because first of all, he has an endurance problem. Anybody who's watched him fight knows he has average at best cardio, okay? You know, he had decent strength. You know, he's a very powerful guy, but he's not the strongest. He is fast. His striking is legit. He, I feel, has really good wrestling but bad submission game. And if that makes sense to fans who really know the sport, they'll understand that. He's got a better wrestling game than he does submission game. So I feel it feeds into your game. First of all, you know, he's going to want to try to stand. And if you feel like it, you can stand. We've all seen it. We've seen you stand with Michael 300 days for 5 rounds. You know, we've seen you take it to the ground like you did with Kitten and finish it. I think that's where this fight would go ultimately, because he is a little bit shorter than you. I feel like the stand-up game would lead towards you because you have more power in your shots than he does. So it would go to the ground, and I think endurance would outwin in a ground-and-pound game, probably late round 4, for you to win.
Definitely a scenario to put me in right there.
Yeah, you know, I mean, and let's be honest. I mean, you're a champion. You're a fighter who's fought all over the world. Cardio could kill a champion. Am I wrong?
Oh, definitely, man. That's what happened with Kidda, you know, over there. He thought he was just the best, and he was just going to walk through and be the champion. And everybody in their mind seen him as the champion. And, you know, 2.5 minutes through the first round, I just see the dump in the cardio. He started breathing heavy, and that ended the whole fight right there.
I love it. So who else has got a dream matchup while we're sitting here making up fights?
Well, before we go any further, I just want to give a quick shout out to my boy David Baggett, David Bags Baggett. I think he's listening from his hospital bed right now. One of my first clients, actually my second client I ever represented before he retired and, you know, doing the family stuff. But a week ago, he was in a head-on car accident with a drunk driver. They were driving down the wrong lane. And he's laid up in the hospital right now, a little all banged up still with a blood clot and things like that. And he's listening to the Rogue Show right now. David, get well soon, brother.
Yeah, big shout-out, bro. Heal up quick. Hey, look, we're speaking about ex-clients. I'm curious because I don't know DJ, Chris, Jeff, how much you guys know about this incident, but there was a fight supposed to happen tomorrow night down at Wild Bill's, I believe, and it was going to be Ronnie Bam Bam Rogers versus Clay Harbison. And the fight got canceled. Now, what we're being told is New Jersey Athletic State suspended Ronnie, and theoretically he didn't follow up with what they felt were the right regulations and information to justify releasing him from suspension. He says he did. At what part does a management company take the blame, or a promoter, or who do you blame, especially when it comes to the day of weigh-in?
Honestly, from what I was told, he did meet the demands and get all the paperwork in. They just weren't looking at it to clear him because, as a matter, from the when he went to the hospital 3 weeks ago, first off, I blame the management because, number one, the management shouldn't have been booking a fight when you already signed another bout agreement 3 weeks out and then notifying the promoter after the fact. And number two, I also put some of the blame on the promoter because they never should have allowed it to happen because most contracts have, you don't fight 30 or 60 days depending on the promotion.
Jeff, do you got anything to say on that? I know Jeff's there. Jeff, unmute your shit.
Well, you can mute my wife and then I can pay attention to you and know what the hell you're talking about.
We're talking about taking fights when you already have fights scheduled. And causing a fight not to happen.
It can have such a huge effect. It just had an enormous effect on me. Like, it could end up being 7 or 8 fights that are affected by it and felt out. It's a horrible thing to do. If you have a fight, you do your fight and then plan another fight. Don't throw it in the middle. It's just not cool. Unprofessional.
Exactly.
Now, absolutely. Jeff, Chris, both of you guys as matchmakers, are you guys able to get the notifications if they're suspended in another state? How do you know? How do you figure that out if management's not going to tell you?
Look it up.
Yeah, well, I can say this. The promotion definitely tried to do everything they can to try to resolve this matter, even going as far as Andy Foster, who used to be the Athletic Commission Executive Director in Georgia, that's now California, even getting Andy involved to try to speak with the New Jersey Athletic Director. Because from what I understand, Ronnie did submit all the tests that was required and get it in my time, but he was told they weren't going to look at it. In so many words, Ronnie pissed off the promotion in New Jersey, therefore we lost our fight.
Now,
because the promotion probably has some type of relationship with the commission, you know, would be my guess.
Would that fall on the management, not so much the fighter, because he just showed up to fight?
I actually put it on the management more because they should have known better to have enough respect not to take another fight in the midst of a bout that you already agreed on. Like, I would never do that. I don't care if it was the greatest opportunity in the world. We've made a commitment, and we're going to honor the commitment we already made. You know?
Okay, now here's the question I guarantee you fans out there wanting to know, and this is going to tell us a lot about the promotion. Was he or was he not paid his fight bonus because this was not his fault, or his fight purse because this was not his fault?
Clay?
Yeah.
Clay was paid his show money today.
That was very cool of him. That's legit. Bam.
Clay was paid his show money. And
now,
did he
pass up any fights waiting for this one?
What's that now?
Did Clay have to pass up any fights waiting for this one?
Yeah. We had other opportunities that we looked at, and we chose this because he wanted the opportunity to avenge his split decision loss coming out of the UFC to him. You know, that was important to him, and, you know, that's why we, you know, put so much work and effort to get this rematch, you know?
Dude,
and unfortunately, it fell apart.
Somebody knows about rematches, TJ. Are you done with rematches for life?
I'm done with the rematches. The only other rematch I would have in my career is to my good friend Devin Cole.
Now, obviously, you have to have a rematch because that's in your clause for the title. Because you took the, you know, the title and
it was definitely in the clause with Kidda.
Yeah,
it wasn't in the contract that if I lost, I got a rematch. It was only if he lost, he would have a rematch.
Okay, so yeah, this is something that's in your contract you have to uphold as a fighter. But in general, if somebody called up and said, "Hey, we want you to fight, you know, blub X guy again," you're gonna be like, "Nah, I'm done doing all this rematch shit."
Oh, come on.
Yeah,
you know you want to fight Mike Hayes again.
I was having fun with that one. I just knew everything I had to do to beat that guy.
Hayes 125 coming up. Who's going to win between Hayes and Monson? What do you think of that fight? Is it just a...
You know, I think Monson, you know, coming off these losses, I think I think he's in either... You know, Hayes coming off these losses and knock Hayes out or actually submit him. But I think Hayes could actually, you know, take him to a decision and win the decision if Munson doesn't submit him.
I'm a huge fan of Munson. I find this to be extremely interesting. And coming back to his backyard after close to 10 years of being away to fight in front of, let's be honest, an MMA, you know, era that he was part of, that came from the Pacific Northwest, that built so many famous gyms around the world and so many famous champions from around the world. He was part of all that. So I think he comes back with a little different burn and earning in his fighter soul than we've seen in the last few years. So I think Munson comes in and hurts him.
I think he's going to fight under my cage with his old. He's got to fight the next week now. That's kind of
that's
a little
what
contested,
I was
going
to say. Are you sure you're not going to lose Munson to fight Vinny Van Megalest the following week?
Yeah, I'm sure. Wouldn't be fighting there. Be sitting.
Hey, I'll step in. Just
Hayes is going. It looks like. It also looks like the Maurice Smith fight's going to happen.
Murray Smith, Matt Kovacs.
Looks like it's going to happen after all.
I see Murray Smith with the head kick KO.
What round?
First.
First
round, about 4 minutes in.
Yep.
No
late
way.
First time.
Too
I think Kovacs is going to come out there and just try to throw him like he always does. He doesn't have that ground game. He doesn't have the ground game, and Maurice is going to keep him standing up and then, you know, tire him out and throw that head kick while Matt Kovacs' hands are throwing like crazy and aiming towards the ground.
What I think is going to happen is Mo's going to take him to the ground.
What?
I bet he takes him down. I bet Mo takes Matt down.
I see Mo standing up and just counterpunching and knocking him out.
I don't think it's that simple. I think the threat standing is that kick. That head kick is going to be a big threat. That's what's going to end the fight if it ends. And so, but if Mo just takes him down, Mo's got a ground game. I've seen Ivan's training, and I know a lot of guys that rolled with him. He's no chump on the ground at all. And so I think he has a huge advantage there at his age, more of an advantage on the ground than he does standing at this age. But we'll see. If he stays standing, then there's a risk of getting caught. if you go to the ground, there's not as much risk. Why not just go for the, I mean, it's a big difference in money, you know, in the win at 58 point in his life. I'm sure he doesn't want to lose.
And be but I see if Mo's on his back, I could see Kovacs pounding him out on his back. But on that's the only way I see Kovacs getting that fight.
Now, okay, let's be honest. We're all here, dude. We're talking openly. So I want everyone's fucking true opinion. Mo Smith comes in, beats Kovacs. What do you tell Kovacs as his coach?
You know, you need to well round your game up if you want to keep in this game and not just be a brawler. Take your career serious.
He's heard the speech. He's heard the speech before. Max is mad. Dude, he's just going to fight. He just fucking fights. You know him. He just fights.
Yeah,
hey, guys.
Exactly. Hey, I just fight, but, you know, I take this game seriously.
Yeah, but you don't just fight. You fight and you do the other things. You make the smart decisions and you put in the time and you learn new stuff. You do the other things. I know you're just a fighter, but you do the other things that are important.
Yeah.
Hey, folks, we got Hamlet joining us tonight. He just joined us, so everybody knows he's on. You're on with DJ. You're on with Clinch, Chris Gregory from MMA Topics, and then Jason from Relentless Sports Management.
Nice. Hey, you guys talking about Kovacs?
Yeah.
I love the guy. I like his fighting spirit, man. He'll fight anybody anytime. I like that.
What do you think of the fight, though?
Hey, look, you just joined us. I just asked this question. You're his coach. He loses this fight. What do you tell him after the fight?
Which fight? Did the Maurice Smith fight get approved yet or what?
Yes.
Looks like he's gonna.
Oh, nice. Somebody planning to get off their ass over there.
This will be good.
You know, he's fighting a better striker. And Mo, I've grappled with Mo. Mo is no joke on the ground. I mean, so I don't care how old Mo is.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. He's. I mean, you're talking about one of the best strikers ever to enter MMA, you know?
And see, that's why I think he'll keep the game standing up, because he is well-rounded. But his bread and butter is that hand.
Oh, yeah. He's going to have to make the fight. I think Kovacs has to make the fight ugly. If he stands outside and tries to pick his shots, Mo's going to kick him hard, you know?
Well, he won't do that. He'll just come in, throw bombs, back out.
Yeah. That's good. That's one of the fights I'm actually looking forward to. I'm glad they finally approved it.
Well, it's not approved, but they said what we had to do. We did it all. So now it should be good.
Mo should have sued the state, because I want to see on their paperwork where any fighter is required to do that. You know, but they do make up their own rules there, obviously.
There's the rule where you got to have your test, right? Brain scan, all that shit.
Hold on, Jeff. What's up? Somebody just said something. I didn't hear.
Hey, that was me. I gotta get off here and put the kid to bed. So, you guys
have a good
thanks
night.
For all the time. Thanks for all the time on here. Big shout out to you guys at MMA Madhouse, Clinch, you know, Training Mask, all my sponsors out there, all Scrap Soldiers, my management, Big Fight Management, and I'll be talking to you guys again before the fight. So,
you got a match.
I'll hit you guys up.
Later, brother.
All right, man.
Good Jeff, night. What the fuck? Are you plunging your toilet?
No, I'm not even near it. It's not me.
Who the fuck's plunging their toilet?
I'm not even nowhere near a toilet.
Jason, are you cooking?
Gregory has to stand?
Yeah. I think that Gregory's all muted up because he's getting trashed right now in his bathroom.
Yeah, he said he's going to his office, but his office is actually the bathroom.
Fuck y'all.
So, Hamlet, did you watch any of the fights tonight on XFC?
No, I don't. I told you, I got rid of DirecTV and went to basic cable, man, unfortunately. Well, any good ones? I don't even know who fought tonight.
What's her name?
Who fought tonight that I might know?
Shit, a lot of people. Ricky Rainey fought Douglas Lima. In what?
Diego Lima.
Diego Lima. But what felt like was basically a gassed out, but two fighters who gassed out, man, definitely. It came down. The thing is, the guy who should have won got robbed, too. Ricky Rainey got robbed on a split decision bad.
Until we change our judging system, this is going to continue to happen. They need to judge the whole fight like pride.
I agree. Stephanie Egging beat Angela Magna tonight for the strawweight title.
Nice.
Let's see.
What do you guys think about Joby Sanchez's performance tonight?
Dude, Joby Sanchez went in there and beat the shit out of that guy, like stole something and walked right back out like it was nothing.
I know.
It looked like a fucking mugging.
He hammer fisted the shit out of that dude, man.
Dude,
what impressed me the most about Joby is, like, if you looked at his, think about it, when he made his debut a year ago before he had some injuries, why he took time off. Like, his last fight when he made his debut, he actually got taken down before he submitted the kid. But up to that point, before it went to the ground, his footwork, he was moving around like a flyweight Lyoto Machida because of his karate background. This fight, he doesn't even get taken down by the dude. He stops all the shots. When he does, he gets back up, you know, and he just, I don't know. I spoke to him actually after his fight. And
now, that's the kid who won the tryouts, right? He's the kid who won the tryouts, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I spoke to him after the fight, and I told him, I said, you didn't have to go for that flying knee to show, though. You still could have put him away. He goes, I had to let him know that he was in my house. This is where I live. This is my home. I got to put all the flyweights on notice. I'm here to stay. But he's a good kid, man. He really is.
Yeah, that was a good card tonight. I thought some of the opening, that Landon Ventada versus J.P. Reese. That was a good fight, man.
Man,
good decision.
I have so much to say about J.P. Reese right now. Number two wrestler in Missouri and didn't use absolutely no wrestling, got pieced apart on the feet and still didn't wrestle. He is one of the best wrestlers out there.
He wandered around like a fucking, like a 12-year-old little boy.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he looked bad. He really did, man. And I like that guy. I really do. He just, he looked rough. He looked horrible.
That cut had to be, what, like 3 inches long?
That was a different fight.
Was it? Was it the Bass
fight?
Think
so. That was the Ryan Quinn fight.
Yeah.
A Ryan Thomas fight.
Oh, you're right. You're right. That kid bled everywhere, man.
Yeah, but bled. No, in the second round, JP came out and you started using him in his wrestling. And it almost reminded me of a fucking lightweight Ben Askren, the way he was riding him.
I
you
just
know?
Don't.
He was fucking drive up and fucking when they were rolling out of that shit, rolling around.
But on the feet, he got pieced apart. Every second
yes,
on the feet, he got pieced apart.
And when he threw punches,
like,
it did. But when
it
he
was
threw
embarrassing.
Punches, it wasn't like he was putting no power in it. Like, he was just throwing it. And then he tried to take him down. And fucking, you know, props to that kid Landon, man. The kid fucking earned it, man. You know, he got out of some, he did a fucking cartwheel fucking escape out of a takedown. Who does that
yep.
shit?
He's like, I think he was only 2-0, too. And, I mean, J.P.
Yeah.
Reese has a lot of fights.
J.P. Reese was 9-6 coming into this fight.
That yeah, he has a lot of fights.
So, while we're all here, who do you guys got for tomorrow night's title fight? You got Schlemenko, or do you guys got Cooper over there at Bellator?
I got Schlemenko all day.
I agree.
Did they ever disclose what was wrong with Warren? Why they wouldn't medically clear him?
Well, I don't think they did.
I think it was because he needed a CAT scan or something like that. He probably already had one, honestly. Who knows? But they said something on Inside MMA about possibly him getting knocked out so many times. I don't know if they were joking, but, I mean, they wouldn't disclose why. I mean, Bjorn Remney said straight up, I just don't want to say, you know, it's medical, it's up to him to disclose that information, which I respect because, you know, that's
he's only been knocked out twice. He's only been knocked out twice, but he's taken a lot of head trauma, a lot.
Well, you know, maybe it's a jerk. Maybe they're looking at the big picture and they just don't want to be that organization.
Yeah, so, they keep an eye on any brain bleeds or whatever, like boxing has, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it really seems like Bellator is taking care of their top fighters for sure. I mean, on Inside MMA tonight, like once again, Bjorn Remney said something about he was making sure that Rampage's knee is going to be 100%. And I mean, you know, I mean, I respect that. You know what I mean? I mean, even though I have a little, you know, Bellator's okay, but I mean, there's just a lot of fights that I don't like, and I just, you know, I like to see the fighters fight more is what I'd like to see there. That you know, the big name fighters aren't fighting as much as they should be when they're under contract. But I mean, I don't know. I don't even know where I was going with that, to be quite honest with you.
Here's a $1 million question. Do you think this fight was put together to give somebody their walking papers? What do you guys think about Mir and Overeem announcement earlier today?
Oh, I'm dissatisfied. First of all, I don't, you know, everybody knows, I'm a fucking diehard Reem fan. I love Reem. I'm not saying he didn't get a fair shot at the UFC, because he did. I'm saying that he maybe should go back to K-1, man. He should go back to kickboxing.
You know what? I think he should just leave the Black Zillion. Sorry to say that, but it's true. I mean, it looks like they just don't help fighters out like they should, and I sound like a negative-ass person on this show tonight, right. But it's true.
Well,
I mean,
do you honestly know why Overeem went to the Black Zillion? I give you a Jerry Maguire quote. Show me the fucking money. From what I heard, in some rumor mills, Overeem got paid like $500,000, bro, to sign with fucking Authentic Sports Management. That's some of the rumors that I heard. Whether they're true or not, I can't confirm or deny because I wasn't involved in the deal, but that was a pretty hefty rumor down here in Florida. And that's just insane, bro, you know?
Well, I'll tell you what. I think, and I know a lot of people out there are going to go, but he should go to Rufus Sports, man. That's where he should go train. Let's be honest. They're putting out solid, fucking, well-rounded fighters right now. At a pace that no... And they're taking strikers and making them fucking geniuses on the ground, and they're taking wrestlers and converting them into fucking ground-and-pound monsters.
Well, the jiu-jitsu aspects, compliments of Mariah's jiu-jitsu, Diego Moraes and Daniel Moraes. Although Daniel's in Brazil right now because of visa issues, but Diego's there.
Rufus
fucking
Sport.
And got...
Yeah.
A local kid just left. What's his name? He just signed with the RFA. He just left Corvallis to go up there to full time to train and live because they gave him an opportunity to do so. And I'm telling you right now, If Reem would take 16 months off and go up there and focus with that group, we would see a true guy making a run for the title again within four fights.
It's just cardio, man. You can't make these guys train hard. I mean, there's no reason just because he's at Black Zillions, his cardio should be as bad as it is. And it's in his head. He just, when he gets to a certain point, he shuts down, stops fighting. There's nothing to do about
that,
man.
It's fucking weird. Anybody who's watched him in his kickboxing days or his dream days, this kid was so fucking aggressive.
He's off the juice, bro.
Yeah, he had some extra incentive in there, buddy.
I'll give you guys that 100%. I won't argue with it at all, but I totally believe that he needs to go somewhere else.
The other thing that I saw, too, today that intrigued me is I read the interview that Mike Dolce gave He's talking about he's going to talk to Frank that he's going to make 205. Yeah. That honestly could be interesting if Frank decided to do that.
Frank needs to go somewhere where they don't hit him anywhere. That's his problem. He gets hit, he shuts down. I mean, yeah, he's had some bad, you know, shots.
Hey, just so everybody knows, in about an hour, or I take that back, in about an hour and 45 minutes, Pancrase 251 is going to be kicking off on Ustream Free and Live. That's over where Daniel Swain and them boys have been fighting. That's what, you think about that, 251 events since 1991.
Rob Cann fought there.
Yeah, Rob Cann's fought there. Look at that, Pat Northwest boys. Man, I, honestly, if I was a fighter, I would love to go over there and fight for that organization just to say I fought there. I mean, think about the legendary fighters who've come from them.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
so one other.
Hey, Mike.
Did you fight over there?
I fought in Shudo over there, yeah.
You fought in Shudo? That's, dude, another legendary. Just another legendary league over there.
Yeah. Did they go under? I haven't heard from them in a long time. I don't hear much about them anymore.
Dude, Shudo Brazil and Shudo Japan are just murdering it lately. Killer events.
Nice.
Tournaments. Yeah. They're still just really doing well.
I spot on a small little, I was stationed in Korea at the Air Force, and I got off work on a Friday, left the country illegally because they wouldn't let me go. I picked my own leave paperwork up, went over, fought in Shudo on Saturday, and came back on Sunday. Nobody ever knew I left the country.
Well, right now.
That's money, bro.
Yeah.
That's money.
Hey, they wouldn't let me know. I asked for permission.
Can't believe you
would
do something like
that. Hey, I asked for permission, so either let me go or I'm going to go when you don't know it, so screw it, you know?
Ask for forgiveness.
Yeah.
It's always easier.
Dude, hey, I got to,
you know?
Hamlet, I got to tell you, out of every guest we've ever had on any of the fucking shows that Madhouse runs, you hands down probably have 3 or 4 of the top 10 stories ever told on our show.
Oh, you have no idea some of the shit.
Dude, from getting...
Go
ahead.
When I got palm punched by Frank Shamrock? Is that what you're going to say?
Well, when you got palm striked from Frank Shamrock all the way to faking paperwork so that you can fly out of a country and fight. Come on, dude. That's fucking cool as shit. You need to write a
book. Matt Hume calls you up and says, you want to fight the number one guy in Shudo? Let's do it. The sad thing is I had zero training partners. I showed my buddies that I was stationed with over there had what submissions were, and I trained by them defending submissions for 3 minutes each round. That's how I defend, and I ran. It's probably why I performed as well as I did. I hadn't lost a fight, though. You don't pass those opportunities up at the time.
That's fucking great. Yeah, and you know, I don't agree with Jeff saying bitch slap. We all know what an open palm strike was.
Last time.
Oh no! It was straight palm punch. He's like, come on in here, and I'll go in there, and I took and ran into a wall. It was like running into a wall. He was huffing and puffing, man. You remember how big Frank was back then? I mean, he was, you know, he was a 200-pound UFC champion at the time, man. He was not happy either.
Oh, yeah. That's great. Oh, man. So what other events going down this weekend, man, that anybody's got going on?
There's one up in Canada, up in Vancouver area. That's a smaller one. There's some got Northwest guys at that.
We'll be at Battlefield Fight League. Or are you talking about BFL at... Sorry, Jeff, what?
Josh Gow's fighting at their BFL. And so is that Jordan Mackin from Spokane and... Your guy from up there in Kelowna, pretty cool.
Joe Piranha. Oh, Michael Brakesfield. There's a ton on that card. And not only that, you've also got the Unified Combat League card in Merritt. You know, the Idaho promotion. They've been going up to Canada and fucking killing it putting on events.
Did a good job. How legit is Josh Gow, Anthony?
How good is what?
Josh Gow. How legit is he?
He's very good. He just as far as athletic, just an athlete, man. He that dude will jump on the trampoline, do double backs, and I mean he's just a freak athlete. He'll run and just twist and turn, and I mean he's you know he's beat some decent guys, and you know that maybe people don't know. I mean shoot, even when he subbed Arnett his last amateur fight, Arnett's not a joke. You know, from Lewiston. He's a tough kid.
He beat Mariansky.
Yeah, he subbed Mariansky with a broken hand. He had a broken hand when he subbed him, too.
That's crazy.
No
yeah,
shit.
And yeah, he's tough, man. He's real tough. Rick's, Rick produces some tough guys down there. What it is, you get a good group of guys already working out, and then other ones, you know, they're going to come in and get tougher, or they're going to quit, and they get tougher. So, I mean, look at Juliana Pena. When you guys get done seeing what that girl does this season, man, that girl's a tough-ass broad, man. I just rolled with her about a week and a half ago. She's tough.
We touched on...
I guess we're going to find out next week how she does against Shayna.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, freaking Shayna's... Shoot, I remember being out at in Atlantic City when Shayna was out there fighting when she first came on the scene. I was out there with Tella Rosa cornering Tara. For a long time.
Now, let me ask you guys, consistently for the last four or five seasons, you've seen at least a couple of Pac Northwest fighters. Do you guys feel that that's the toughest region for fighters in the country right now?
Yes.
Yeah, it's up there. It's definitely up there. I mean, it's all the other, they're kind of spread out. I mean, you know what I mean? All the other gyms and stuff like that. You still get Uriah's guys and, I mean, but how many of Uriah's guys are from Uriah's area? Most of those guys are move-ins now. They're getting a lot of move-ins.
That's true. And I'll tell you what, a lot of people out there, somebody's got a computer on or something. I can hear backfeed. Some people out there feel like Shayna is going to get tapped. Even though Shayna's a well-rounded, seasoned fighter, anybody out there feel the same, that she's going to get tapped out in that fight?
She just got her hands full. Juliana, she's fought on my shows before. She, when she was 1-0 as an amateur, she fought another girl who was 1-0. And she beat this girl up so bad that the girl who lost, her dad called me the next day cussing me out. And I'm like, dude, that girl was 1-0 just like your daughter. What do you expect? I don't know. You know what I mean? I don't know how these girls, she cussed me out, man. I was like, I feel bad. But she's tough, bro. She's real tough. She's got that girl on her team, though, Cheesecake, whatever, out of Canada that snapped her arm. I ref that fight, too. She beat Juliana earlier this year. Sarah, I don't know her, Morris. How do you?
Morris,
yeah, she's tough, too. Yeah. I mean, that girl beat Tara LaRosa to get into the house. That's not an easy thing to do.
That's very true. Look, I'm almost, as sad as it sounds to say, we all probably here agree, the girls are going to probably dominate the excitement and the fight build-up and the fights themselves on the show over the guys. I just hope they don't play that fucking edit shit. That's crap. Let me see the whole fucking fight. Don't just give me fucking 8 seconds of highlights.
I think that was only for the premiere because it's a 2-hour premiere. I think we'll see the actual whole fight the rest of the season.
And what the fuck's up with the ticker across the bottom? That's some bullshit. Big time. Hey, and did anybody...
Yeah, I don't even...
Go ahead.
This season, though, I was at the tryouts, man. They did not bring a lot of the better guys on the show, you know, with the redheaded kid from Prangley's gym. What's his name? And then Wilson Reese was there. They didn't get him on the show. I mean, I don't think anybody on that whole show could touch Wilson Reese. That dude's a monster.
Yeah.
He beat Caraway, if you guys remember.
Dude, I can totally see that them sitting back and saying, you know, we want to focus more on the girls. Let's bring some guys that aren't gonna, you know, sell the show as well for the male side.
Right.
You know,
right. That's
right. We've all seen them twist stuff from the tragic, you know, loss, you know, of Michael, you know, in that season, all the way to editing fights to make it look like guys are scared for a matchup when that fight's already happened, you know, or they're, you know, I mean, we've seen it, we've read it, we've heard it, that, you know, they twist a lot of shit around on that show. So I wouldn't,
oh,
totally,
sure,
I totally feel that way, that they would go with lesser guys.
Yeah, because when Scareway, remember when they shaved Scareway's head? They did that early in the season, and they didn't show it till late in the season.
Once again, you know, how they're twisting it to make it more of that drama shit, like Real Housewives of whatever county they live in. I don't fucking know. I want to see a Real Housewives of fucking Oakland, people. Like 6-7 cholo chicks, 2 black girls riding around in 64 Impalas selling crack and fucking shooting people. Show me some Real Housewives shit.
Yeah.
Well, in the preview for the season, they showed Dana going off on somebody. Like, they sent him, basically kicked him out, is what it looked like. And I'm curious to see who that was.
They're going to hype that shit up, and it's not going to really happen.
Yeah.
Okay, let's hear it. We're all here. Does anybody else find it kind of fucking odd that they canceled the season finale indefinitely at Bellator?
Well, something's hurt. Big is hurt. What do you do?
You give them time to heal and you rematch it. But they're saying that the fight's canceled indefinitely.
He's going to fight. No, they said today that he's going to fight on the pay-per-view.
Oh, wow. Just like 2 days ago, they said they were going to cancel that fight indefinitely.
Yeah, today, as of today, they said that fight was going to be on the pay-per-view now, November 2nd.
They are struggling.
Yeah, they picked a really bad night to do that, you know, Jeff, by the way, November 2nd, to do their first pay-per-view. That sucks.
Yeah, it sucks for them. So our fight will probably be better.
Oh, yeah.
The way?
I think that first pay-per-view is going to flop anyway.
I do, too. I don't even think Tito will make it to the cage. I think he'll get hurt before it comes.
I wouldn't watch it for that fight. I'd watch it just for the Eddie Alvarez freaking rematch
fight.
That alone.
But nope. I'll watch that for free online. Thank you very much. I'll keep my $45.
You know,
you guys, are any of you guys boxing fans like me? Am I one of the few people that are left that are boxing fans?
No, we love boxing.
We are. Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Because Canelo and Mayweather's next week, man. So.
Yes, it is. That's. I know everybody's going to say Mayweather, but you know it's going to be an interesting fight.
Yeah, it's going to come down to speed. I just don't think Canelo has the speed to go with him. You know.
Dude, if he beats Mayweather, what happens?
You better. A lot of you guys don't learn. The best 154 pounder out there right now, in my opinion, is Triple G. If you haven't, do Google for him. You ever heard of him?
Oh, hell yes.
Triple G, he was 345-5 as an amateur, and I think he's like 26-0 right now with 23 knockouts, and nobody really knows who he is.
Oh, dude, we do. Dude, his last fight, dude, he made that guy look like a chump.
With that liver shot.
Yep. Just put him down.
I've been following him for a couple of years and stuff like that. So.
But honestly, we're seeing, you know, boxing starting to make somewhat of a comeback, and you know, like that new Roy Jones MMA promotion, they're going to start putting pro boxing matches and MMA matches on the same cards.
Who's doing that?
Island Fights out of I believe, Pensacola, Florida. We had put up their press
release. He already did that once.
No, they're good. Did they sign? Yeah, Roy Jones, but now he's got a partner. They're doing a full pro MMA league. They've got 6 dates signed throughout the United States and a couple of different states.
Yeah, they did that way back in the day because Big Country was signed with him when he went into the Ultimate Fighter, and they had to get him out of his contract, if you guys remember, right?
Yeah. Well, he is doing it again, and he joined with the promotion out of Florida this time. Hold on. I'm looking for the press release right now because I know I have it. It is, let's see, Tunisia. I got way too many press releases in here. I love it, though. Folks, you want to read about anything MMA, fucking go to MMAMadhouse.com. Oh, you can't read about Zuffa because I don't give a shit about them. But, Square Ring Promotions and Island Fights Championships partner up. And I sat down and talked with his business partner about the event. I believe they have one in Illinois, in Chicago. They're going to have one like in Kansas City, one in Pennsylvania, another one in Florida, and one in Oklahoma City, I believe.
Nice.
So, and they're signing up pros from around the country to bring in because it's not going to be any like just local, you know, they're going to be bringing guys in from all over the country to fill these cards. There will be local fighters, but he said it'll probably be like a 70-30 deal.
Nice. Nice.
Yes. Well, fuck. What else is, let's see. I'm trying to figure out what else is going on this weekend that anybody out there besides me would know about. What's up?
I got something for you. So at Cage Warrior Combat, we're going to go and we're going to rank all the fighters in the Northwest as far as how Cage Warrior Combat sees it, 1 through 10 in each weight class. And so fighters will know where they sit in the eyes of the company, what they need to do to move up, stuff like that. It's pretty cool. But we're going to do that this next week. And so next weekend should be pretty close to done. So who you guys think are some of the best fighters in each weight class in the Northwest?
Well,
I definitely think Lee Morris is the number one featherweight in the Pacific Northwest from Washington.
Yeah, but he'll be
unavailable.
He'll be in Russia in about a month making his fucking name.
We're going to rank everybody, not just people that are not obligated. It's going to be everybody from around here. So if they are become not obligated, they know where they sit.
Well, I still think Lee's the number one featherweight.
Hey, Skippy, is Budo fights going on down there anymore? Is that done with?
Right now, they keep pushing back date after date after date. Next month will be a year since their last show, so I would happen to say it's done. I'm really
so you guys bummed. You guys don't have a single professional promotion in the state of Oregon anymore.
Nope.
Good job, well, Brad actually, Darcy.
Actually, maybe Ultimate Combat Sports or Unified Combat Sports, whatever it is. They hate me. I hate it because I always butcher their name, so they get pissed off. But UCF. That's what it is. Unified.
Where they out of?
They're the ones who did the, like, Crazy Horse Geibel and Castillo guns fights. They're out of, like...
Oh, yeah. You're talking about
Charles,
the guys from Vicious Fight Gear, those guys. Charles.
Charles Galvez, yeah.
Yeah. Good buddy of mine. I like that guy. I mean, he's been around the game for a long time. He started bringing his clothing line up here to Washington all the time when he was getting started.
Well, they're the last time that anybody put on a solid pro card anywhere here, you know. So, yeah, it sucks because you know what I would love? I would love if just one fucking time somebody come over to this side of the mountain and put on a fucking show. Dude, sport fight used to come here, Desert Brawl, Budo Fight.
We're gonna.
You know.
We're gonna.
Yeah, now, before I turn 8.
I think it'll be next year.
I'm telling you what.
Nice. He's 76 next year, right?
Yes. I'm the oldest guy in the town.
You think that Lee's better than Caraway?
Who?
You think that Lee's better than Caraway?
Who? Say that one more time.
Jake knows. Do you think that Lee's better than Caraway?
Well, no. Caraway's a 35er. Lee's
doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. No, absolutely not.
Different weight classes.
Doesn't matter. Even they're both 45. Lee does not beat Brian.
They were. They were both 45.
Yeah.
I wish you could have seen the lead that fought Julian Rosa.
Do you really think Caraway could beat fucking Lee?
Absolutely.
Wow, absolutely, man.
I'll tell you what, in my gym, in my gym, they went straight wrestling, pure wrestling, and Lee was in college and Brian was not, and Brian out-wrestled his ass, not even close, pure wrestling, which was, Lee was a two-timer up here. And, you know, he's more of an accomplished wrestler, but Brian was able to out-wrestle him.
I heard there was other things that happened at a different time that didn't have that same outcome, but who knows?
Trust me, I can't stand Brian Scareway at all, man. I would hope Lee smash his face in. I'd hope Lee smash his face in, but unfortunately, you know, it is what it is. I still say I have the best 145-pound pro in the Northwest. We're going to find that out November 2nd, though, for sure.
Sterling.
Yeah, brother. He texted me today. I can't even close my hands. I'm so sore. Because I got a call for him last week or a couple days ago about Bellator in the 145-pound tournament, about putting him in that, and I was like, when is it, and this and that, and they have to be in shape. I go, by your standards, yes. By my standards, no. So by the time he fights Drew, bro, he's going to be dialed in, as long as keep him healthy and ready to go.
Well, the best 145er in the States just starting. He's going to be having his pro debut in November. We'll see how it shakes out. But I think Alden is going to be the best.
You think Lee what?
Alden Lee will be the best.
Alden Lee is a very tough dude. He's a very accomplished wrestler, for sure.
They're set stuff together now. He's got all things together, and Jeremy Pidgeon's his coach, and giving him sick hands and the stand-up and kicks, and he's a bad dude now, and he's got his head right. So it's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, because he fought Tony Sanchez from my gym, right? Is that who he fought?
Yeah, he lost to Sanchez. Sanchez choked him.
Okay. Choked him with a guillotine.
Yeah, he learned not to fight high. He fights sober. Goes way better.
Yeah, well, it helps some people.
If you don't fight Sanchez high, it's over.
You know how Sanchez is, man. You gotta sleep him. You gotta put him to sleep. That kid won't quit for nothing.
Yeah, you gotta knock him out.
You gotta sleep him, exactly.
And that's not easy.
Now, I'll tell you something I'm really interested to see with Lee. Jumping back to Lee Morrison, with him getting the opportunity to work with some of the great Sambo guys, that feeds into his game, the kind of game he, you know, presents in a cage so well. I think he's going to be able to learn some great shit from those guys to really enhance his game to another level.
Who's that?
Lee Morrison.
Where's he working at now? Sambo guys.
Well, when he goes over to Russia.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to get to roll and have some fun with those kind of guys who do Sambo at a level that none of us get to ever see. You know, and for his style of game, it's a great tool for Lee to learn.
Absolutely, especially as compact as he is, you know. If you remember, he won, he got dropped at a cage fort and from inside of his guard went, rolled to a heel hook and won by heel hook one time. Lee did.
Now, hey, let me ask you. You know, you're a big, you know, traditional style grappler, and I don't mean that like for anybody out there. You know, you go into like the Abu Dhabis, and that's your game. With Sambo, have you ever done it? Do you like that style of ground game?
I love it. I love Sambo. I think like that guy that Pat Healy's about ready to fight. That guy is a freaking monster.
Yep.
What's that? Jiminy Cricket. He's a monster, man. And he took that guy at that last fight. That, you know, I don't even know what kind of level wrestling that guy is, and he just destroyed him. I think it was like 20 something takedowns in the fight, something like that. Yeah, that's Sambo's nasty. Sambo's nasty because you get a little bit of striking while you know in that Sambo. They're amateur Sambo. You still get to learn how to strike a little bit too.
That's very true. Well, and I think it's for me as a fan. Like we just watched some of the tournaments last week that they held over in Russia. Man, I love it because it's such a fast-paced fight game, you know, on the ground.
Absolutely.
But like you said, with you know, the mix of moves from BJJ and judo and striking basically all wrapped up into one little compact, tight game. Some of the things I find so interesting is some of the angles they're able to strike from when they are entangled up together. You know, with such close distance to be able to drop some of the punches they do. It's insane. I love it. It's exciting.
Yeah, you guys were arguing over who was the best heavyweights there, Skip, on Facebook last week. Remember you guys were doing a list of... Yeah. And I don't care what anybody says. I don't care how he ended his career. I still say Fedor was the best ever so far.
I agree. And all those people talking about the heavyweights today are way better. What the no way. First of all, half your heavyweights were pride fighters, and they were pride fighters in the heyday. Second of all, none of the fighters today that the UFC has brought up in the last 3 years who could hang with the schedule and the tournaments that those guys fought. 10-minute rounds, fighting 2-3 times a night.
The brutality of the fights over there, man, were brutal, man.
Yeah.
They were freaking brutal. I love all my, you know, like it because the doctors will literally stop the fight, and there's no time limit on it. They'll stop the cut and get the bleeding to stop, and then they'll start the fighting, and they don't have time limits on that kind of stuff.
Yeah, no, and that's the thing, you know, you point out a great thing about the way they used to fight back then. It was such a – you had fighters who were athletic, where today we're seeing more athletes who can fight. And I totally believe that. And I know people are like, what the fuck? That's stupid. No, it's true. Back then, you had guys who could show up, suck it up, and fight 3 fights in a night, all fucking wars, and come out at the end of the night ready to fucking,
Look at Mark Coleman when he resurrected his career and came out and won that tournament. That tournament he won, other than what is the other Mark? The other wrestler, the American.
Mark
Hurt. He had freaking. Yeah.
No.
Kerr. Mark Kerr. Mark Kerr. Yeah, I remember he was in the tournament and that was going to be a big deal about those two fighting, and then he had a freaking blowout or whatever, but. Coleman, man, to come back and resurrect his career, and that was crazy, dude. And it was just, I mean, I love the old Pride tournaments. Love them.
Hey, and by the way, we were talking about that, the Healy fight, the KNAP, Nakamoroda, Vega, whatever. Just check this out. M1 champion. Obviously, you mentioned the 21 takedowns on 27 attempts. It's the most ever, but... World Combat Sambo Federation champion 2 times. Combat Sambo Russian Federation champion 1 time. European Martial Arts Hand-to-Hand Fighting champion. Naga World champion. Pancration Federation Russia World champion. European Pancration champion. The guy's legit. He's 20-0, man. He has fought all around the world. He's what? 4-0 now in the UFC, obviously with his toughest test to date.
Coming up.
Dude, this kid's a fucking beast, man. Holy shit.
And he's got his hands full with Healy. That's what I love.
He's also a black belt in judo. Add that to his fucking... Oh, wow. He's even had pro kickboxing fights? What the fuck? This guy's a beast.
And a big... And don't be surprised if he don't make weight again, because he didn't make weight his last fight if he gets cut.
Well, yeah, I wonder, let's see right here.
He wasn't even close. If you guys remember, he was almost 3 pounds over. He was like 2.5 over. It was ridiculous.
Yeah. I wish I could figure out what he fought in judo and combat sambo, what weight classes.
probably at 54 or 50, whatever it is.
Well, I was wondering, because he'd probably fight judo and sambo, both closer to his walking weight, probably only cutting a few pounds, like 8 to 10.
He's probably doing it 72 or 74 kilo, because 65 kilo is 145, so he's probably doing 72 or 74 kilo.
Well, yeah, he's probably doing 74 or 76, because 70 is 155. So you figure he's like 163 probably in judo and combat sambo.
Exactly.
See, I wish we had more kilogram classes in MMA in America. I think it would be better for the sport. It would make better matchups. If you could go in without somebody going, oh, you're a 155er. You can't fight him at 163. I'd love to see that. Well, fuck, gentlemen. This has been an interesting night of fight. I'm so looking forward to tomorrow and actually to watch Pancrase here in a little bit. It's going to be a good night. But we're going to wrap this show up early tonight because fuck it. I want to go get...
Hey, real quick, when is Eddie Ellis' fight, what, next week overseas?
Yeah, it's next Friday night.
Nice.
Or Saturday night, I'm sorry. The 14th.
Tough fight he's got on his hands, man.
Now, that's interesting because if he can go over there and win this, how many more fights do you think before he can get a knock from World Series or Bellator or maybe UFC?
I think he was told to.
Okay.
That's what I talked to him about it a month ago, and I think 2 or 3 weeks or whatever it was, and I think he said 2 fights. He's told to go out and win 2 good fights, and But he's got a full plate next week. Got a full plate next week, and he's got definitely a full plate on November 2nd with Lyle Beerbohm.
Yeah. Well, that's 2 good fights.
Yeah. Eddie's one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. I've known him since he was 16 years old, man. The kid is just an awesome guy.
Good sport.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, cool. Well, you guys have fun, man. I'm going to head to bed. We'll catch up with you guys.
Hey, thanks, brother.
Later.
Everybody out there, man, I appreciate you guys all joining the Rogue Show. And you know what? Because I'm such a fucking douchebag and I forgot at the beginning of the show, I want to give a big shout out to the Clock Tower Pub. Dude, I love these guys. They take good care of me. They support local MMA. They hook me up with lunch all the time to keep me fat and happy. Go check them out if you're ever in town or nearby. Great, great atmosphere to go watch MMA or any sports at. MMAMadhouse.com. You guys know we got bad luck for them. Vision Smoke Shop. You guys check them out at visionsmoke.com. They got kick-ass glass. Clinch Custom Mouth Guard to getclinched.com. Always killing it. Greg at Ink Tank Tattoo. I'm going to see you here shortly to get some more work. I love you, man. You kill it, dude. Jax Media up in Canada for anything you need. Fuck, check them out, bro. Anything from fight cards, fight posters, T-shirts, fighter bios, Facebook headers, whatever you want, man. They do it all. Check them out at Jax Media Canada on Twitter. Go Fight Live TV. Aggressive Clothing. Aggressive MMA 1 on Twitter. Thank you guys for the hookup on the sweet gear you guys sent me. We're going to start this show the same way, or end the show the same way we started it. This is for all my boys in the hood. Throw out your cardboard.
Paint a better place to live, where the colors would swirl and the boys and girls can grow in. never be one to take your place. Cause each and every time you touch a spray paint can, Michelangelo's soul controls your hands. Send serenades of blue and red, and the beauty of the rainbow fills your head. Crescendo colors play in tune. Man, why oh why did have to die so soon? Say it 1, 2, 3, 4. And just let me know what you came here for, and just clap your hands, everybody, and let me know that I'm not alone.
And that's the reason why.